Let's start over. Well, good morning. Good to have you all here this morning. I love redos and restarts and second chances. Thank you for your graciousness. But God is good, and good to be here this morning. Good to have everyone here, all of our visitors and our members alike. And, you know, it's a wonderful time of the year. Many people are celebrating Christmas cheer and a lot of projects going on of giving donations and giving out gifts. And I heard of a wonderful Ladies' Day, that the Ladies' Breakfast you had last Saturday. And we're looking forward to another Agape this coming Wednesday. Hope everyone can come to that. And also want to let you know about a marriage seminar that we are hosting in February. So if you have your calendars, your phones, or want to write something down on your handout right now, write down February 9th through the 12th. We are having Jerry and Lynn Jones back here for a marriage seminar. It's going to be all day Sunday, starting with the Bible classes, going all day Sunday to the evening, and then Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. So I want to start getting that on the calendars, in our thoughts. There will be some more information, some flyers that are going to be made, the way we can share this great blessings opportunity with our body, with our community, and with your friends and neighbors that can benefit from that seminar. Well, this time of year, you hear a lot of statements and a lot of phrases. And, you know, one statement that I hear a lot is that every child deserves a Christmas. Every child deserves a Christmas. And I always wonder, what are we saying when we say a child deserves a Christmas? Well, it made me think, well, who doesn't deserve a Christmas? Hear that Christmas song, he's making a list. He's checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty or nice. Anybody ever been threatened by a child that if you weren't nice during the month of December, you weren't going to get any presents? Or you're going to get a lump of coal in your stocking? Did that ever happen to anybody? Did anybody not have a Christmas? So what does it mean to deserve a Christmas? You know, there was actually a family I read about, I looked this up, that's actually their kids were so naughty and they threatened them that they actually put their words where their mouth was, or their money where their mouth was, and they didn't spend any money. They actually did not give their kids what maybe we're saying a Christmas. They didn't buy them any presents because they already had all the gifts and they weren't being very grateful for the things and they weren't being obedient to their parents. Now, they didn't not have a Christmas. What they did is they did celebrate the birth of Christ. They did go to the programs. They did read the scriptures, and they did remember the Lord. They did have a meal. They did do acts of service. They did buy gifts for others. But those kids did not get a Christmas when we say every kid deserves a Christmas, when maybe we hear that being said. Because in our minds, they need to have presents. They need all the toys. You ever wonder why some people get all the things on their Christmas list and some others don't? You ever had that experience when you were a kid, you didn't get all the things on your list, and the kid across the aisle from you at school, he got everything. He got piles and piles and piles of gifts. And who got the gifts and who got the presents? And who was blessed by those things? Is it because they deserved them and you didn't deserve them? You know, who doesn't deserve a Christmas? And who does deserve this idea of deserving? You ever said that? You ever said, I deserve this? You know, I'm a good person. I work hard. I do a lot for others. So I deserve to be spoiled. I deserve to have a little excess. I deserve to be pampered. I deserve to be served. I deserve to be a little selfish. Because if we have this privileged mindset that we deserve these things, that we should be highly favored, that we should be given, that we should be blessed. And we may even think about that when it comes to our walk with Christ, that as I am a good follower of Christ, I deserve to be blessed. I expect to be blessed. That I ought to be rewarded for this. You know, blessed are those who give, for they'll be blessed. Blessed are those who forgive, for they'll be forgiven. Blessed are the merciful. So it kind of plays into this mindset of this idea of earning something. You know, there was a family who decided that they were only going to give their kids the gifts of presents. Not presents with the T, but of their presence. They were going to spend time together. They were going to have experiences of being together. You ever gotten a gift and it wasn't what you wanted? You gotten a gift and, you wrinkled up your face. Wasn't what the thing that was on your list. I remember as a kid, it was basketball season, and it was Sean Kemp was the basketball player for the Seattle Supersonics. I don't know if I'm opening a wound for somebody. If Seattle Supersonics was your team, but we're glad we got him in Oklahoma City. But Sean Kemp at that time, he had these Reebok shoes with the gel in the sole of the shoes. And my brother, being an older brother, he got those shoes. And what I got was the Kangaroos shoes. I'm not kidding. That's what they're called. They were called Roos. And I'm like, asked my dad, what are Roos? They're Kangaroos. And I wasn't grateful. He said, well, when I was your age, you know, my dad grew up pretty rough and poor. He has broken family, lived in orphanages and foster families. He's got five brothers and four sisters. They've never all been together at one time. And he said, I would have been so blessed to have had these Kangaroos. And I said, I don't care. Because I'm a good kid. I deserved to have those Sean Kemp shoes. You know, I was happy the day my brother Sean Kemp gel shoes, the gel burst in one of them. And I was still bouncing around in my roos pretty well. But this idea of do we have gratitude? You know, do we feel truly blessed? Well, we're looking at this story of the birth of Christ this time of year and looking at John the Baptist and, you know, Luke's foretelling of the coming of Christ, and he starts with the foretelling of the coming of John the Baptist. And what kind of triggered this was the statement that Jesus actually says of John later in the book of Luke, that there is no one greater than John. And I added this part that there is no one greater than the one who prepares the way for the Lord. And the angel said that came to Zechariah while he was serving in the temple and told him that your son will bring back many to the Lord. Think about this time of the season. Who deserves a Christmas this year? Who deserves to be brought back to the Lord? And how will they be brought back? They will be brought back by your presence in their lives. Of you showing up in their lives, and especially if they are not deserving of it. Because who is deserving of a Christmas? We may say, yes, every child is deserving of a Christmas. Every child needs hope. Every child needs to be known that they're loved and they're noticed and they're worth it. But what about every adult? Do every adult deserve a Christmas? Every adult, if they don't have a job? Every adult, if they have been not diligent with their life, irresponsible with the resources they've had? Do they deserve to have a Christmas? Do they deserve your presence? What about those who have disrespected you or hurt you or let you down or have been a harm on society or those around others? Do they deserve a Christmas? Do they deserve your presence? Well, the Lord comes to those who are humble. The Lord came, as we look in Luke's account, if you want to turn to Luke chapter 1, He came to those who were humble. And how do we know these folks were humble? How do we know they were like, you know, that God gives grace to the humble and we want to receive that? So how can I be humble? This time of year we got to think, am I truly grateful for the blessings I have? Do I think I deserve this? Do I feel like the things that I have are owed to me? I think it's hard for me to really come to a place where I've ever really felt like that. I mean, I expected to get everything I put on my Christmas list every year. And most times I did. Besides those kangaroos, that wasn't Christmas. That was just for basketball season. Even if I had to share my gifts with my brother, we still got the game systems we want. We still got the things. My parents found a way. And when I got those things, I felt like I deserve this. Because I'm a good kid. And I do what's right. But how many times at Christmas do we get those gifts? We give those presents that every child deserves and every adult deserves. And then we get those gifts and we all go to our separate rooms and start playing with our toys and go into the shop and playing with our new gadgets, and we're not getting the presents of Christmas. We're just getting the presents of Christmas. Well, in Luke's telling, the Lord came to the humble. And we know they're humble because when the Lord, through an angel, appeared to Zechariah and Elizabeth, well, first to Zechariah, he was blessed by his obedience. Zechariah and Elizabeth was blessed by their obedience. And they were blessed by their obedience before the blessing of the gift of John that the Lord was going to give them. Because they were blessed to be serving the Lord. They were faithfully, it says they were upright and they were blameless. They were blessed already in their service to God. They were blessed in their worship of God. They were blessed because they were children of God. They were blessed because of their life in God, even though life was hard there and it seemed like God had left them, or actually Israel had kind of forfeited their thoughts of God. You know, this was 400 years of silence in the Scriptures from the time of the prophets in Malachi to the time of Jesus coming. But yet they were blessed by their obedience. And how do we know they were humble? It said the Lord comes to the humble. We know by their response of the coming of Christmas, by the coming of Christ, and the coming of their part in what their son would do to prepare people for Christmas. We see that when the Lord came to Zechariah, Zechariah wondered about this impossibility. The angel comes to him as he's serving in the temple. He was blessed to even be chosen that day, that week, to be burning the incense in the most holy of holy places. I mean, he was blessed to be in the presence of God serving. And while he's there serving, an angel appears to him and says, "Your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son. And you're going to name him John. I know that's not part of your family name, but you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John." And that John means that God is gracious. And God was gracious. And Zechariah was feeling that graciousness. He didn't expect this. He didn't expect the angel. He was afraid. At first, he was startled by this appearing of this angel. And the angel says, "Do not be afraid." But then, what this gift is, the angel says, you're going to have a son. And that enough was a gift. And he's going to be son, going to be John. His name's going to be God is Gracious. You will rejoice, and many will rejoice in him. And he will be set apart, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now you can imagine Zechariah, "Wow, this is just enough that I've been serving God. It's great enough that the angel has showed up, and he said, I'm going to have a son, but there's more. There's more here." He says he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he's going to bring back many to the Lord. And you can see Zechariah's mind start to wander and start to think, how is this going to be possible? He's going to turn the hearts of fathers to their children, the disobedient to the obedient. For what purpose is that? I mean, the anticipation is rising and rising in him. What else is there? It's like this gift, you open it and it keeps opening up to more and more. It's more than what you expected. It may be better than what you ever could have thought was possible. And he says he will prepare many for the Lord. And we know his wonder, we know his amazement by his response when he says, "How can this be? How can I be sure of this?" You know, that could seem like a moment of doubt, but I see it as a moment of wonder, thinking this is impossible. When he says, I am an old man, and I like how he talks about his wife here. And my wife, she's well along in years. That's a good answer. He says, I'm an old man, I'm well along in years. How will this be? He's wondering about this impossibility. And then we see Elizabeth. Elizabeth. I already talked about this. I'm off my rocker here. Elizabeth, she also wondered at this unexpected favor. She was actually awed by this unexpected favor. In Luke chapter 1, verse 23, it says, when his time of service completed, he returned. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, for she had been... after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she says. You see how this gift of this pregnancy came to her. And you ever received a gift and you forgot who gave it to you, and you just took credit for it? You know, like, I made this happen. Yeah, it was just me. Well, Elizabeth, we see her humility because she understands this was impossible. The Lord has done this for me. And it says, in these days, he has shown his favor. You know, she didn't say, well, in these days, she did what I expected him to do. She did this because I deserved this, because I was a good, faithful, upright person. She said, no, she knew it as favor. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace. Now you see the humble position that she's been in, not having had a child her whole life. And the disappointment of that, and now she's saying, you have taken away my disgrace among the people. Well, Zechariah wondered about this impossibility. Elizabeth was wondered and awed about this unexpected favor. And then we get to Mary. Mary, the humble virgin, the humble servant. We know she was humble because she was troubled by this surprise. It says, when the angel came to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. If the Lord showed up today and said, you who are highly favored, stand up. Who wouldn't stand up? He's talking about you, right? He's talking about me. Because I'm the highly favored one. This is what I expect. No. Look at the exclamation point. You know, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary is humbled. She's greatly troubled. She's got to say, is there some other Mary in the room? Are you talking to me? She's troubled at his words and wondered, what is this going to be? I mean, her faithful obedience of being a follower of God was thought this was it. We are the people of God. God is with us. That's enough. And then there's more. But the angel says to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And then her question, which in one way, like Zechariah's question, could be seen as doubt, but I see it as this humble awe, this humble wonder about this surprise. She says, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. And the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Just like Zechariah, when he wasn't sure about how this was going to be since he was old and his wife was well along in age, he says, God will cause this to happen. And Mary, a virgin who's not even married yet, how will this be? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, the work of God in their lives. So the Lord comes to the humble. They were surprised by mercy. They were surprised by this mercy. You wonder, what is mercy? Throughout the story and the responses that will come in a little bit about Mary, in Mary's song, in Zechariah's song, we hear this word mercy. Well, mercy is an unmerited favor. It is being very generous and gracious and giving great benefit to others. And it's giving that grace and that mercy and that benefit to those who have broken relationship with you. So we know God is a covenant God. We know God is one who established covenant with His people, saying, I will be your God and you will be my people. And Him and Israel had entered into that type of relationship. But we know, like with every relationship, that, and we know with every example of the people of God, that they broke that covenant. They were unfaithful. They went to other gods and they disobeyed. They couldn't keep up with that. And if God didn't do anything to get them back, no one would have thought He should. No one would have thought, because when someone breaks a covenant with you, no one expects you to make it right. And so when Israel, and where people, where we find this people in this time of the coming of Christ, you know, they had lost this relationship. They had forfeited this with God. They thought we've been broken and they're just awaiting His return. Well, God is a faithful God. And He is a merciful God, that He shows up. And that's the mercy. And He shows up and shows compassion. And compassion is that part of action, of showing up for those who have broken the covenant, who have been unfaithful. Being the faithful one shows up and is in their presence to bring them back together with Him. And this is what is surprising. Having been people who know this story of Christ, maybe you see God and see Christ as that, you expect that of Him. See, Mary didn't expect that angel to show up. Zechariah didn't expect that. Elizabeth didn't expect that, because they had this humility. Who deserves a Christmas? Who needs mercy? Who needs God's presence this season? Who needs your presence to be merciful as the Lord our God has shown you mercy? Well, we see that the humble respond in obedience. We see Mary's response when the angel shows up to her and she is just troubled and disturbed by the surprise. Mary professes her faith and her submission when she responds by saying, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. What about you? What is your response to the mercy of God? The humble respond in obedience by professing faith and obedience. The humble also respond by praising God for God's mercy. The very first praise, when the pregnant Mary, with carrying the Savior in her womb, shows up to visit Elizabeth, who is carrying John in her womb, is praise. It says, at that time, Luke chapter 1:39, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. John responded to the humility, to obedience by praising God, jumping in her womb. And then Mary's song. We'll get back to Elizabeth's response. But Mary's song of praise to God, her humility and her amazement and her gratitude of this magnitude of what's happening with her. And she sings, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has been mindful of His humble servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. You see the humility of her, the amazement and the gratitude. He says He has performed mighty deeds with His arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, but He's brought down the rulers of their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, and even as He said to our fathers. So the humble respond by professing faith and submission. They respond by praising God for His mercy. And the humble respond by prophesying, meaning speaking words of God so that others will respond. See, praise is the words we speak to God, telling Him. And that song that Mary lifted up was to God, praising Him for His mercy to her, and not just to her, but for all people, of raising up the humble and putting down the proud, of feeding the hungry and helping the helpless, because she herself was felt humblest and needy and poor. She felt that for herself, but she felt that for others. So praising is that the words to God, and this prophesying is the word speaking to God. And we see this in Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, 41. When the baby jumped within her, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she spoke, "Blessed are you to Mary among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." And look at the humility. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her. You see the humility of these people? You see the humility of Zechariah and Elizabeth and of Mary? They did not expect this. This impossible thing was happening. They were awed and they were wondered and they were troubled and they were surprised. I mean, how often are you surprised? Maybe like, do people here not like surprises? Don't surprise me. Don't you dare. You know, when's the last time you were surprised by God's love or God's mercy? Have you ever received a gift from someone that absolutely rocked your world? This is for me? Who am I? How can this be? How did you know? Elizabeth responds by speaking words of God. She's amazed by the faith of Mary. You ever been amazed by other people's faith? Wow. You're going to say, "Let this be. May God's will be done." Amazed by it. I am the Lord's servant. You know, so Elizabeth prophesies. And then the neighbors, her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared in her joy. After Elizabeth gives birth to this child, let me go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 57. When it came time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son, and her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared in her joy. You see how the receiving of mercy then makes an impact on others who think, "This is impossible. This is unexpected. This is surprising." And to know that this gift wasn't just for Elizabeth or just for Mary, it was for all of them. That even for you. And they were obedient in naming him John, a name that wasn't in their family. And then Zechariah. He responds by both prophesying and by praising. It says in Luke chapter 1, 67, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see the work of the Spirit. The same Spirit that is in you. It says, and he prophesied, speaking words to God and praise and words to others. And here is his song. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. He praises God for his redemption, for saving them from their enemies, for showing mercy and rescuing them so they could live this life of service. And he responds out of this humility and this awe of this impossibility of this mercy of God. And then, lifting up his son, says of John, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to him from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Holding up his son, you will speak for God. You will prepare others of this mercy and this grace and this impossible gift that's been given to us of your life. Your life is more than that. Will be that to be merciful to others, to let people know of the knowledge of that God is giving through Christ Jesus. To let other people know of salvation, to know of the forgiveness that we have received, that you have received, that you've been blessed with, to give that to others. This is the gift of Christmas. Jesus showing up and showing mercy of bringing people to him. People who have broken covenant, who have sinned, who have gone their own way, who have been irresponsible and not diligent with their lives, who have wasted that. He shows up and shows mercy. This is Christmas, and it comes from the depths of who he is. When it says because of his tender mercy. This word is a kind of a fun Greek word. I don't like to throw around Greek a lot because it's like, oh, look at me, I know the Greek word. But this Greek word, splachna, that's just fun to say, splachna. Kind of comes from the deep part of your throat, splachna. It says that he has this gut mercy. It comes from his guts. So what we would say, it comes from our heart. It comes from the deep part of who he is. And every time God shows up to an unfaithful people, it is surprise. No one would ever expected that. No one does that. No one works that way over and over and over and over and over again. He is the gift of Christmas for you to show you mercy, for you to be surprised. Do you want to embrace that and to spend time with that and then to share that, because there's so much of it to go around. Who needs your mercy this Christmas? Who needs that presence this Christmas? Who needs you to show up? Are you humble? Are you grateful for what the Lord has done for you? Does it seem like an impossibility? Then it will be a gift. Does it seem like it would be unexpected? Then that would be the gift. Would it be a surprise if you showed up for someone else who needs your mercy? Who is willing to say, I am the Lord's servant? The Lord shows up for you. Imagine if we were to show up for those others we are thinking of, and they were to be wow and amazed, and then to go, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me. Who needs to praise God this morning for his mercy shown to you? Who needs to speak a word to others knowing of this great mercy God has shown you. Give the gift that Christ has given you. Show up, be merciful, and be present, even as we stand and sing.